Google has released a list of do's and don'ts for Google Glass users. Some of the do's are explore the world around you. Another one is ask for permission.
My favorite of the don'ts really gets to the point. Google tells users don't be creepy or rude, as in glasshole.
As technology advances, it forces everything else to at least try to catch up, even etiquette. Daniel Post Senning is the grandson of etiquette expert Emily Post. He says his focus is on tech etiquette now, ties everything back together. By the way, etiquette, the term dates back to early France.
It has its origins in the court of King Louis, the Sun King. And he developed an elaborate, practically Byzantine structure of social hierarchy to occupy his nobility so that they wouldn't challenge his power. And it was incredibly difficult to keep track of, and people that were new to court or even people that wanted to navigate the social expectations of King Louis's court well started exchanging little cards that would tell each other what was expected in certain situations. And these little cards, these little signs, were called etiquettes. And when Google released their Google Glass to beta testers, they included little cards that had suggestions or tips on ways to use your Google Glass well so that you wouldn't give offense to others. And I thought that was brilliant. I thought it showed a lot of forethought on the part of a tech company to be thinking about the social implications of the technology that they were developing and releasing.
So Google sent out this expensive technology. They're telling people, look, don't use it while you're driving. But what is not okay to do with something like or with Google Glass?
To me, the privacy questions are really immediate. It becomes more and more important to be intentional and explicit about what our expectations are around privacy. And as a new user of something like Google Glass, where you've got the capability to be recording just about anything that you're looking at, you want to be thinking about whether the people around you have a reasonable expectation of privacy. So if you're in a business meeting or an extreme example, if you're entering a public restroom, you really want to be aware that it's up to you to be explicit that you're not using your device to record or monitor or get information about the people around you.
You know, there was a man fatally shot. An argument happened because he was texting while in a movie theater. That's the wrong way to approach the issue. But what's the right way to approach a stranger if they're being what you consider rude with technology?
If you're talking about a public situation, it's rare that you have standing to address a situation. And like you described, it can sometimes escalate a situation in a way that's unpleasant for everyone. But you want to look for someone who's got the authority to address the situation if it starts to escalate in a way that's uncomfortable.
That applies back through time. And I guess that would apply as well. I'm in a coffee shop. Somebody else is using that coffee shop for their office. They're on the phone. It's annoying to me. I just want a quiet cup of coffee. But I go to the proprietor and not to that person.
Absolutely. And again, there is some gray area here. I never underestimate the effect, the power of a reproachful glance. It can be a useful reminder sometimes. And I like to remind people it's easier to see rudeness in others than in ourselves.
We're talking about the evolution of tech etiquette with Dan Post Senning, who's been thinking about these issues. He's written Manners in a Digital World, Living Well Online. All right, a few instances of do's and don'ts. When is it ever okay to use your phone when you're with friends at dinner?
Generally speaking, never. It's a good idea to have in mind the rule that it's not appropriate to use a phone or a mobile device when you're sharing a meal with others. The guideline is that if you have to take a call, you warn people ahead of time, you excuse yourself from the table, you get up, you leave the space where people are eating to take that call. You don't want to take your attention away from the people that you're with.
You know, you're a tech expert. You think about these things in etiquette.
I do. It's inescapable.
What drives you crazy?
So the idea of a pet peeve is actually a bit of a pet peeve for me. The idea that you would hold close something that you find bothersome and nurture that feeling is something I don't like to encourage in myself.
Wait, what do you mean? You mean you, if something bugs you, you express it?
Exactly, or the idea that you would treasure a particular dislike to the point that you would, I don't want to say fetishize it, but turn it into a pet peeve.
What was that? Is that your way of saying nothing bugs you?
Not that nothing bugs me, but that I try not to cultivate a dislike for particular things. Although, since I've started doing this etiquette work, I've been doing it professionally for about 8 years now. There are certain social expectations that I find myself articulating so often when I see them violated, I notice them. And one of the ones that I notice is what I call the cell phone security blanket. And it's the inability for someone to be alone for just a minute, for 30 seconds, without taking the device out or the mobile device out to somehow reassure or comfort themselves. And the moment that really occurs to me is right after I get out of a yoga class. My favorite studio in town doesn't have an area to change. There's just a bench outside the studio space. So after class, everybody sits and they put on their boots and their jacket and they trundle off into the cold. I live in Burlington, Vermont. And it's a moment when you're coming out of class, you're feeling good, and I watch how people just instantly, as soon as they get their coat on, as soon as they get back to their material things, the phone comes out, it gets powered on, people are checking messages, and I think to myself, boy, if we could just wait 5 minutes till we're out the door, till we're sitting in our cars, then we start to open up a social space where we might engage each other, but that seems to be a really difficult thing for people these days. And in some ways, while it feels very connected to take that device off, it really has the potential to close us off from the people that we're right there with. That's a moment that I notice it.
That's very interesting. But we do have a different sense of what it is to be alone these days. I marvel when I'm down the street and I see somebody these days from all walks of life, from all levels of the economic strata. And I see them with a phone and I think to myself, it helps me even more to say, that person has a family. That person has somebody who cares about them. It almost humanizes them in a way that before I might dismiss them.
I like where you're going with the thought. Some people ask me, well, tech etiquette, isn't that an oxymoron? There are no manners online. And for me, the heart of manners or etiquette is that it's about relationship skills. It's about the expectations that we have of each other in relationship. And these are communication tools. And it is true that we're more connected to more people in more ways than ever before. And that's powerful. That's exciting. And in some ways, it's incredibly human.
Daniel Post-Senning is the author of Manners in a Digital World, Living Well Online. This is The Record from KUOW.